Due to a recording error, the first several minutes of this message are missing. We apologize for the inconvenience.
God has given me the privilege to minister to other people, to younger folk. They don't know. My baby girl got married last Sunday. Her first husband died several years ago. She met a fella named Frank, and they got married. And at the ceremony, I was asked, who gives her to her? I said, I give her. And I told Frank, after got Frank, I'm not an Indian giver. I gave her to her, to you. I ain't taking her back. She's yours, okay? And you two, they live a couple of blocks around the street from me. Come see me when you feel like it. Hey, I'm talking about a lot of things that we suffer. But God is working even in that. Look, I just shared with you. Look with me at 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. There's a purpose in this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, of the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. The Father of mercies and the God of what? All comfort. Who comforted us in all our troubles and our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort where we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. In the younger years, in the pastorate, I pastor the church. And people in our congregation, I'd visit them. They'd be in the hospital. And I would go and pray with them and pray for them and share the word of God. But I didn't fully understand what I was doing until one day I went to my physician and he examined me. He said, Mr. Earl, I got bad news. You got cancer. Oh, my goodness. Cancer. Yeah. He said, are we going to do some tests and then eventually do surgery? I got in the car and was driving home. And I got on the expressway and I started crying, thinking about all that I was leaving. Leaving my family and the ministry of the church. I'd be gone. And a still small voice spoke to my heart. It said, preacher, if you're leaving anything, everything, what are you going away to? I said, huh? If you leave everything, what are you going away to? I thought about that. I started weeping, thinking about leaving, absent from the body, present with the Lord, out of this old miserable world, going to be with my Lord. You know what? I started singing. Guess what I was singing? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billow roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. The tears stopped, and I started smiling and kept saying, it's well with my soul. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this affliction, this infirmity. it taught me rather to stand and be sympathetic, but to be empathetic with somebody else because I could relate to them about the same malady that we had. God changed your attitude. God changes your attitude. He changed mine. He did that with me when I first got saved. I tell people all of the civil rights stuff and the demonstrations and going to this detain, all of the cattle prods and the police and the dogs turned loose on black people. God taught me something out of that after he saved me. It ain't skin. It's sin. It ain't race. It's grace. I met a preacher a few days ago at home, and he was bent out of shape. He was sitting in the back of Wendy's where we have a Bible study, and he was on a computer. He was out of it. And I spoke to him. He started telling me about the racial issues, about the Chinese and the Hispanics and the Mexican and black people and all that kind of stuff. And I listened to him. I said, may I ask you a question? He said, sure. But he knew who I was. I said to him, what color is the image of a man? He said, huh? I said, the Bible said God made man in his likeness and his image. Can you look in the mirror and see the image of God in you? He said, no. I said, what color is the image of God? He said, I don't know. I said, the Bible doesn't tell us that. But it just says that God made man his own likeness and image. He started to smile. He said, thank you for that. Intelligent. But I read my Bible, and it says that God made man in his likeness and his image. What color is that? We often major on the minor and minor on the major, don't we? We get caught up. Say, God, we're politically correct. Yeah, but you're theologically wrong. We let the world system infiltrate our thinking. God is still in control. God is sovereign. Things are not out of kilter with God. God has everything according to his plan. God help America. God help America. We as a nation turn our back on God. The president making speeches about gun control. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. You lay a gun down, don't kill anybody. But somebody pick it up and kill somebody. And the same sex marriage, that's sick. Animals don't do that. They don't. Somebody forgot to read about Sodom and Gomorrah. They say it's illegal to say anything derogatory. That's what the Bible says. God calls them Sodomites. What are you going to call them? Read Romans chapter 1. There it is right there. We are getting ready. Ready for this? We are getting ready to make a trip. He's coming back for us. He came to save sinners. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're lost. You're on your way to hell. But God never made hell for you. He made it for the devil and his angels. And Jesus Christ, God, the God-man, came into the world. We just celebrated here not so long ago, Christmas, the virgin birth of the Son of God. He grew up to be a man. They didn't crucify a baby. They crucified the man, Christ Jesus. He took my sin and your sin in his own body. He suffered. They hung him on the cross. He suffered. He bled and died for me and for you. He was buried and raised again the third day. And all that come to God through him are saved. Jesus said, I am the way. Not a way, not religion. I started to become a Roman Catholic. I did, took instruction. But you know one thing that discouraged me from that? In this parish, it was all black people, and the priest was a white guy, and they called him father. I said, I ain't calling that white guy father. He ain't my father. You say what you want to. I go to the club and sit on the stoop, the bar stool. I'm sitting there sucking up the booze, and the priest is sitting there too, sucking up the booze. I'm looking, I said, if he can't help himself, he can't help me. And then they call him father. I said, he ain't my father. I ain't calling him my father. I call a white dude father. I begin to ask questions. Where is purgatory? How do you get him out? Who goes there to get him out? If he goes, how's he get back? Huh? Yeah. A lot of the babies in the infant home, the Catholic home, infant, you know whose babies they are? The priest. Mom used to work in the home for the sisters. But the priest had a room upstairs. And Mom would clean up. And she'd take beer bottles and beer cans and liquor bottles from under the priest's bed. Meatless Friday.
Hogwash.
They ain't meat on Friday. Mom on Friday. Mom would cook meatloaf. She get ready to go home. They're coming in from school. So Ida, what did you cook? She said, I cooked the meatloaf. I said, you know what day it is? She said, yeah, it's Friday. What's wrong? I said, oh, I forgot. Meatless Friday. You know what they said?
Go home. We're going to eat it anyway.
The sprinkling. That's dry cleaning. We used to do that. We, you know, take a newspaper, put it on the clothes, sprinkle it, and then iron it. The Bible says that Philip baptized the eunuch, and they went down both into the water. Do you know what that says? That means in the Greek, they went down both into the water. And in the Hebrew, the same thing. How are you going to? I was watching that program, I don't know what it was. And they had the priest with all this clerical garb on and had this little boy over the water to sprinkle him. And while the priest was holding this little boy in his arm, a stream of water came straight up from the little boy right into the priest's face. I laughed. Oh, I was hysterical. You know what the priest, the little boy did? He peed in the priest's face. And I said, sir, you're right, you sorry rascal. You ought to do it right if you're going to lead somebody to Christ. That's religion for you. That's religion. And then in my community, God help us. Got pictures of a black man that's Jesus. And I look and say, but he's not black. He's Jewish. I've been to Israel. And I've seen Ethiopian Jews. They are black. Man, they're so black they could spit ink. But they say, Ethiopian Jews. Guess what? We had fellowship together. We could hardly speak to each other. But we knew that we had been born again by the Spirit of God. Proof of Christ in my life. Look at what he says. Grace be to you. Peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our troubles, tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Look at this. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing, look at this, that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall you be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant when we were in school with those lady that was there, of her, a matronly lady, never been married, Maria. Maria had never been married. And she was over our house for one day. And I said, Maria, I want to ask you a question. Why have you never been married? She said, oh, Brother Earl, I have scripture for having never been married. I said, you do? She said, yeah. She said, the Bible says, for I would not have you ignorant brethren. I said, wait a minute. Well, wait a minute, Maria. That's not what it says. She said, I know what it said. For we would not have you to be ignorant. She said, but I would not have you ignorant brethren. And I said, well, you're right, Maria. We have some ignorant brethren. And I don't blame you for not having been married. Notice this. our trouble. Ignorant of our trouble. Which came to us in Asia. That we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. For we had the sentence of death in ourselves, but we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raised the dead. Did Paul go through affliction and infirmity? Look at it. Look what we got. Look at the Pauline epistles. God said that because of this, you read straight a while ago, he's going to suffer many things because of me. In the book of Acts, a historical book, we find that there were Christians that were beaten, put to death because of the testimony. But they rejoiced that they were found worthy to suffer affliction for his name's sake. Beloved, what is your attitude toward suffering? Even now. I notice it as I look out here. Some of you gals and guys are smiling. I know why you're smiling. God rang your bell through preaching the word of God. To change your attitude. And that'll determine your altitude. If your attitude is right. God will do that. My wife says to me, honey, you're crazy. Amen. I'm a nut. I'm anchored to the right bolt. One thing about a nut, the meat's on the inside. You got to crack the shell to get to the meat. Really? Well, what's your attitude toward affliction? I didn't know that just about on this side, you got all the good lookers and the uglies on that side. The aged. How many of you consider yourself a senior citizen? Let's see your hand. And I'm preaching to God knew what to tell me to tell you on the way here to bring this message to you, to change your attitude. And you young folk over here, you're going to get there if you live long enough. Just don't die on me. What's God saying to you out of this? Well, just what is he saying to you? Do you have an attitude that would honor and glorify God? Do you? In your sufferings and afflictions? Are you satisfied with Jesus? In 1 Timothy, First Timothy, oh, chapter 4. First Timothy chapter number 4. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice this and look at it. Would be in verse number 12. He says, yea, let's back up. But thou hast fully, verse 10, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Are you living godly? Are you really living godly? Are you letting the Lord have His will in your life? Look at 2 Corinthians, if you would. Chapter number 12. And I'm going to close on this note. Don't pay that attention. I usually close several times before I quit. Look at this. Chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or without of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted, look at this, above measure through the abundance of the revelation, notice this, that was given to me, hey, there's a gift, here it is, that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know, people are very gracious and kind to me wherever I go. And they find out all these infirmities that I've got. They're just as nice to me as they can be. You know what? I listen to them. But I thank them for it. But you know what it does? It keeps me down in the dirt where I belong, rather than get big-headed and exalted because of the things that are happening in my life. The places that I've been, God has done that. I may be ugly, but I'm not stupid. God has done this. Places that I've been, just about all around the world, people that I've met. I never thought I'd ever dream that I'd meet these men of God. But God has done that. They say nice things to me. And I say to them, thank you. But I know you're lying. You don't know me like God knows me. I don't listen. I don't swallow all that stuff. People are gracious and kind. They don't know me like God knows me. I was at a meeting and the pastor was introducing me. Man, I was eating it up. Oh, man. All these nice things he's saying about me. And I'm sitting there and my wife said, he talking about anybody we know?
I said, woman, let me enjoy this. She said, he ain't talking about you. All those nice things. He don't know you like I know you.
Okay, that's enough. Leave it alone, okay? You want to eat today?
He said, for this thing, it was given what? What? That was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the message of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I besought the Lord three times, I asked him. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Isn't that a paradox? Strength through weakness. Then he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I go to doctors. I go to VA hospital. And I got a private practitioner. And sometimes I wonder, what's wrong with these guys? They get money for giving away all these medications and pills and stuff. There's only one pill I'm interested in. That's the God's pill. I witness to my doctors. God gives opportunity. In the VA hospital, I'm over there passing out literature. There are guys over there. They're in bad shape. But God has placed me right in the middle of them to get an opportunity to speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey. The gift, Paul said, was given to me. It's something given to you. It's a gift. Amen. He said it was given to me. From God, the message of Satan to buffet me, to keep me on my face where I'm supposed to be, on my knees before God. Did God use him? Yes, he did. See the Pauline epistles we've got. How about the Lord Jesus Christ? Did he suffer? Oh, yes. Look at what we got. We got the whole book. We got the whole book. It's proof of Christ in me. Two books of joy in the Bible. One in the Old Testament, the ones in the New Testament. The book of joy in the Old Testament is the book of Job. Read it. It's only 42 chapters. Go through it again. The Lord taught Job things about himself and his friends. The book of joy in the New Testament is the book of Philippians. Paul spent time in prison, in stripes, and all kinds of things. And God was glorified in his life. If you're not saved, God will use infirmities and afflictions in your life to bring you to himself. You go to the doctor, and the doctor examines you, and he's shaking his head, and the undertaker is grinning, waiting for you. You're going to die. You don't know when. Regardless of your age, whether young or old or whatever, you're going to die. You don't know when. You lay down tonight, you may not get up tomorrow morning. It's appointed unto men, women, boys, and girls, once to die. But after this, the judgment. Where will you stand? At the great white throne judgment, no Christian will ever stand at the great white throne judgment. We'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema. Our works will be tried as to what sort it is. I'm not trying to frighten you, but you walk out of the door here after service, you might ever walk back. One time, you're going to die. Where will you spend eternity? I talked to that lady, my neighbor, and she's a seven-day disadvantage, a Jehovah's false witness and all that stuff. And they believe that the grave is hell. I turned to Luke 16. So the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. I said, where does that tell you that the grave is hell? He died, was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And then she tried to tell me she was of the 144,000. I said, looked her straight in the face. I said, lady, you're black like I am. Which tribe are you from? 12,000 from each one of the 12 tribes. They said, Jews. Which Jewish nation are you from? She couldn't say a word. I gave her the word of God. The word of God will do the work. We can't make them do it. Just give it to them. But what's God doing with you when you're infirm? God will use your infirmities to bring glory to himself. God will use infirmities to bring you to the Lord. God will use infirmities to humble you before him. To let you know that it's him, not you, it's not me. We're going to have a new body. Hallelujah, glory to God. I won't be this ugly. You won't be as ugly as you are either. We'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as you. Let me ask you a question, and I'm going to quit. How many of you, please don't raise your hand. Are you listening? Please do not raise your hand when I ask this question. How many of you have ever read through your Bible at least one time? From Genesis to Revelation. Not because somebody said you got to read it in a year. You may read slow like me. It takes you longer than a year to read it, but keep reading. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. How precious is the Word of God to you? Wake up, but don't get up. I have trouble sleeping at night. You know how I do? Get up and read my Bible. And guess what happened? I read my Bible. Somebody's snoring in here. I fall asleep reading the Word of God. Read it! The gift that nobody wants. Back to our text. Philippians 1 and 29. What does it say? Not only is given to you, but to you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.